Thank you, worship team. Let us read. The scripture today is from 1 Samuel chapter 2, the back half of verse 1 here. Everyone together. My heart rejoices in the Lord, and the Lord, my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. Well, I'm just going to warn you, it's an emotional weekend. We got a lot going on in our family, and Grace graduated, and I'm pretty sure my kids had a running bet how far Dad could get into the letter he was going to read before he started crying. And let it be known, I didn't even make it on the stage. And so it's kind of one of those emotional weeks, and celebrating Mother's Day is always a good time, right? But it's hard when I'm always thinking about what am I going to preach on, because I want to bring something to you that encourages the moms. No matter where you're at in the journey of motherhood or desired to have children or wherever you're at in your journey, I really want to bring something to you that encourages you this season. And I also want to encourage other people, everyone that's here, this pick a passage. So it's challenging, and I look back on my childhood and my, and what I remember, it was a good childhood. I know our family had our ups and downs like everybody else. It wasn't perfect. Nobody is. But I was very blessed, and with the mother I have and the father I have and raising us up, and many people investing in their lives, that turning them and leading them to Jesus, that changed the trajectory of our family's life without a question. And then to find a wonderful woman that would agree to not only hang out with me, but maybe want to marry me, was really awesome. And then that brought additional family and a mother-in-law. You always hear, I was nervous what was going to happen, because I know moms are protective of their daughters. And I look back on this many years, and I couldn't have asked for a better mother-in-law. I mean, she's loved me from, maybe not from the beginning, but once she saw, hopefully, the character of me and then also the love of her daughter for me, it's been nonstop support every moment. And to have six children is just a wonderful thing. But I realize not everybody has that story, and so it's hard. Like, as motherhood, Heather shared a video with Grace and I and Tyler as we were thinking about graduation, and it was from when everything, I told John Wood before the service, it was from when everything was a little bit easier. She's not even one, I don't think, and she's on the floor crawling around, and Tyler's on the floor crawling around, and Grace bends down and licks the floor, just licks that linoleum. And so Tyler does what every good brother would do. He bends down and does the same thing, and we're both going, no! Boy, I would sometimes give for those days to come back, right? But motherhood is a challenge, and life is a challenge, and following Jesus Christ is an incredible challenge, but it's a joy as well. And so today what I want to do is I just want to look at a passage that you're probably familiar with, parts of it at least. We're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 1, and we're going to just jump through this story of a woman named Hannah. And see what lessons we can learn from this faithful woman. A woman that certainly wasn't perfect, like none of us are, had many challenges in her life, even leading up to having children, and then after having a child. And it was a hard road for her, sure, I can only imagine. But we look at what God did in the midst of that, and what we can learn from her. And so what we're going to do is we're just going to read through this in four sections. I'm going to comment a little bit, and we're going to see this journey that Hannah kind of went on. And no matter where you fit in this journey, because I believe everybody is in this same journey, maybe not motherhood, obviously, for you guys, but you're in this journey of life, and there's these kind of these mile markers, these things that happen that we can learn from Hannah about being faithful to God. So before I do, though, let me pray for our time together. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for this Mother's Day where we celebrate the ladies in our lives, Lord, and we just thank you for them. God, I pray that you would be with this passage in my words today, that it would be your words and not mine, that it would be your message and not mine, that the stumbling blocks from our hearts, our lives could be just set aside for a moment, and we would learn from your word. God, and from this life, Hannah, so many years ago. God, I just pray that you be with us and let the Holy Spirit have his way. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So just a little history here, you know, Samuel, if you remember, we went through God's big story last year into the beginning of this year, and so we kind of tracked God's big story chronologically through the Bible. And so this is a period, so Samuel isn't born yet. It's written, called 1 Samuel, but it's about that period kind of between the judges and the kings, and Samuel's kind of that transitionary, he's going to be that transitionary person. But before that, we pick up the story, his account in chapter 1, starting in verse 1. And let's just read, I'll read these first 8 verses to you, and then I'll comment. Starting in verse 1, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1. There was a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zuphite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, and an Ephraimite. He had 2 wives. One was called Hannah, and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year, they went up. This man went up from his town to worship and to sacrifice the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the 2 sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of his meat to his wife Peninnah and all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons?" Let me pause there for a minute. So in this section we see, if you're following along in your bulletin and you're one of those that likes to fill out, the first one is, I titled Hannah's Pain. Hannah's pain. And so we see that Hannah's in the midst of this. She's married. She has this husband. And, you know, just without taking too much time, understand there was polygamy going on in those days. And just because it was allowed by God doesn't mean he supported that clearly. But this is just the way of the culture. And so Hannah was without children, wasn't able to have children. And the other woman, his other wife, was have just as many, and we don't know how many, but we had few for sure. And so this undoubtedly would have caused Hannah tremendous pain. She was barren, and this rival, the second wife, would provoke her, and they would come after her. And I don't understand, because I'm a guy, but I have to imagine there's deep, deep sorrow there. And this pain was certainly physical, but it was emotional and spiritual. And so she was kind of feeling the weight of this. And so Elkanah then comes to her and, like many husbands, goes, "Why are you upset?" "Don't be upset. You have me. And let me just give you guys, men, words of encouragement, because I've made this same mistake myself." That's not a great question to ask when your wife's upset. Don't say, "Why are you upset? You have me." Right? And we see that Elkanah clearly loved her. He gave her double portion. And so, you know, this just reminds me, and maybe it's on my brain because I was talking to some folks about them getting married and doing counseling and stuff. And this book of Gary Chapman's, The 5 Love Languages, just came flooding back to my brain. I read that before we were married, finished on the beaches of Aruba. I got a chance to go on a trip right before our senior year. And I remembered, it hit me, that I loved Heather beyond a question about any, there was no doubt. But I started to realize, and she's still trying to help me understand 25 years later, that she doesn't necessarily receive love the same way I receive love. So Elkanah, being the provider, he's like, "Well, I love her so much, I'm gonna give her double portion." Right? That was his way of expressing love and not addressing that root issue. And so there's no doubt that he loves her, but he's not really fully understanding what's happening here. But there's a deep pain that she's feeling. And so I just, as I was reading this and thinking on this, you know, one thing that comes back is that motherhood is not always easy, is it? Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes there's great pain. Sometimes your kids can break your heart. Sometimes, you know, worse things happen, and it's hard. And the other thing that I remember is that motherhood is not always immediate. You know, I, in the same vein, I can remember Dan always saying all those years, we felt like we had a tremendous youth pastor in Dan, and he had a tremendous ministry with him and Sue, and he would always say it's not until, you know, 10 or more years down the road that you realize how much that impact has. And I think sometimes as parents, you know, we get caught in the day-to-day. Moms, you get caught in the day-to-day and you feel the pain and the struggle of going on. And so sometimes it's not immediate. My encouragement for you, as we will see as this passage goes on, is that no matter what pain or no matter what struggle you might be dealing with, if you're in that right now, I want to encourage you. I want you to know that God sees you. God sees you where you're at. And not, God doesn't always also just see you, but he enters into that moment with you. And the Bible does not tell us, in fact, it tells us the opposite, that following Christ is going to be hard. And I think that that comes down to parenthood and motherhood as well. But we can trust God. There are struggles in your life, and I don't know what those struggles are for you. Maybe it's struggles to have children, wanting to, you know, married, all those things that you might struggle with. And I don't ever want to diminish those, because those are very real. Just like Hannah here, her pain, it was very, very real. But we will see as we continue on that God sees you, God loves you. So that's Hannah's pain. Now let's pick up the account and continue on, starting in verse 9. Once, when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow, saying, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, How long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine. Not so, my Lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Eli answered her, Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked him. She said, May your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Let's pause here. So Hannah has pain. She has a great pain. And I think this next section, it says that we see that Hannah's prayer. We see that Hannah begins to pray. So this is just a tremendous reminder for all of us that, you know, Hannah, in the midst of her deepest anguish, deepest pain, deepest struggle, her response was to pray, was to go to the Lord. And can I just say that that kind of response isn't born in the middle of the struggle. That kind of response is born or created in her because it's clear that she must have had that practice of happening. She must have realized and had that notion that whenever there was struggle or whenever there was things going on, that she stopped and prayed. And so she stops and she prays fervently, and it says, because she's pouring out her heart and her soul in verse 15. And then she makes a vow to dedicate this son that she's praying for. Eli clearly misunderstood what was happening here, saw her mouth moving, and then thought maybe she was drunk or something like that. And, you know, at first brush up against that, I was like, well, how could he see that? And then I got to thinking, how many times am I like in the car driving down and I'm like talking to myself? And I, what if the other people in the other vehicles were looking at me in that moment? They're probably thinking, that dude is weird. He's talking to him. There's nobody else in the car. That's weird, right? And sometimes I'm singing and I'm excited and then I'm really jamming. Maybe I'm even drumming on the steering wheel. Don't worry, I'm controlling it with my knees. But, you know, driving the car, like, probably should be paying better attention. But here's the point. It's the point is that sometimes what we perceive from the outside is not necessarily what's happening. And so Eli had that reaction, but in her heart, she was clearly pouring out her soul to God and just asking Him. And I think that's a tremendous tell for us, is that when we get in the midst of the pain, what is our response? And listen, I'm not saying it's going to make it easier. It's not going to necessarily make all that pain go away. But what we see with Hannah's response is when she prays and pours this out, and then Eli realizes what's happening there and said, "May what you're praying for, may God answer that." And her heart shifts. Her heart shifts. We see there in verse 18, it says her face was no longer downcast. A change of heart happened. Prayer is a mother's greatest tool. And it's a follower of Jesus' greatest tool. So many times we get caught in this cycle of saying, well, since there's nothing else I can do, I'll pray. And I would encourage you that maybe we would start that out by saying, well, let's stop and let the first thing I do be to pray. You know, her prayer was just genuine. It was heartfelt. It was pouring her soul out to God, asking the only one who could do anything about her pain to enter in and be a part of that process. Even so much so that she was promising to dedicate that son that she was praying for to service in the Lord. You know, we've all been in those moments, whether it was at a young age at a wishing well or wherever throughout life, and we're casting a wish and go, God, if you get me this, if you do this for me, if you bring me this person, if you bring this house, if you do that, and we kind of say, okay, God, if you do that, then I'll follow you. That's a little dangerous there, but I don't think that's what Hannah is doing here. Hannah's saying, listen, I trust you, God, with this situation, so much so that, God, if you would bring this son, then I will surrender him to your service. Let prayer be our first action and show that our heart is seeking God, the only one that's able, the only one that's truly faithful. Let your prayer be like Hannah's prayer. So we see her pain, then we see her prayer, and then in verse 19 we start to see the next one, which is Hannah's promise. Early the next morning they arose and worshiped before the Lord, starting in verse 19, and then went back to their home in Ramah. Elkanah lay with Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. Verse 21, when the man Elkanah went up with all his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, after the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always. So when this, do what seems best to you, Elkanah told her, stay here until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word. So the woman stayed at home and nursed her son until she had weaned him. Verse 24, after he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When they had slaughtered the bull, they brought the boy to Eli, and she said to him, as surely as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. Let's pause for a minute. So Hannah's promise comes to fruition. So can you imagine what she would have been thinking, right? It's pretty clear that they go home. She gets pregnant and she has a child, and within the next year then she's going to bring him. And so that time period comes. Can you imagine what she might have been thinking? Can you imagine what she might have been thinking? And that next time they went after the baby was born, and so she's wondering, you know, I would have wondered, you know, is God really going to hold me to this promise? do I really need to do this? But we don't see that in Hannah. Hannah kept her vow. And what I love about this is Hannah kept her vow, her promise, even when it was costly. You know, God answered her prayer with Samuel, and after weaning, brings him to the temple. Now, initially when I've read this, I'll be honest with you, Elkanah says, all right, it's time to go. And she says, well, let me hold back. And so initially I was thinking that she's maybe holding back a little bit there. But as I read a little bit more, you know, it wasn't uncommon for them to nurse the baby and then to not wean the baby for a couple of years later. So, you know, we're thinking, you know, he's maybe a year older in that ballpark. So she needed to take time to wean him properly. And then she chooses to do what she said she would do. Hannah did not hold back. Hannah took her baby and presented him to service at the Lord's temple. You know, what I love about this is Hannah did not hold back even when it was hard. Not only did she experience deep pain, but she went to the Lord for comfort and prayed to him. And then when he delivered her out of that bondage, she kept to her promise and she gave her son over to be serving at the temple. You know, here at Grace Community Church, we do something called baby dedication or young child dedication. And it's kind of the, although you're not giving your child to the church, it's the same idea. The parents come forward and say, I'm dedicating my life to raising up my child to know God, to know the God of all creation and to serve him. And that's really what we hope to see. And as a church, then we come alongside of you and we say, yes, we commit to supporting you. We commit to being a part of this and helping you in any way we can. And so this idea of dedicating your child is very powerful thing. And as parents, you know, I can tell you that it's not super easy to think of things in that way. One of the hardest parts about being a parent, and I don't know that I realized this when we first started, was that as a parent, God has entrusted those children to us for a period of time. And we were charged with stewarding that gift that he's given us. And then our goal is that they launch out, the Bible tells us, launch them out into the world to then go and make a difference. And one of the hardest parts about being a parent, and I imagine for being a mother, is that the children at some point have to choose to follow along those lines. And to this point in our life, we've been very blessed, but I realize that there's going to be times when our children don't do things we want them to do. That's going to happen, and we're going to be there to support them in any way we can. But Hannah here is dedicating her child to the Lord. She's trusting him over to the Lord. See, even in the midst of this pain that she felt and being delivered out of that because of her prayer and her seeking the Lord, she kept her promise. And so my encouragement to you is that you too can trust the Lord. I don't know what might be in your life right now that's causing stumbling blocks or pain or anything like that, or maybe you're coming out of a season of that and you can give God the praise. But I can tell you this beyond a shadow of a doubt. We learn from Hannah's life here that she can trust. She trusted God, and so can we. So that is her promise. Now finishing up here in the beginning of chapter 2, we're going to read Hannah's praise. Hannah's praise. Starting in chapter 2, 1 Samuel verse 1, it says, "Then Hannah prayed and said, 'My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, and I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Do not keep talking so proudly or let your mouth speak with arrogance, but the Lord is a God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. The bows of the warriors are broken, but those
who stumbled are armed with strength. Those who were full hire themselves out for fools. Excuse me. Let me go back. Verse 5. Those who were full hire themselves out for food, but those who were hungry hunger no more. See, who was barren has borne 7 children, but see, she who has had many sons pines away. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and he lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes and he has them inherit a throne of honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's. Upon them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked will be silenced in darkness. It is not my strength that prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be shattered. He will thunder against them from heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his kings and exalt the horn of his anointed. We see in the midst of this prayer, we see that she is praising the God. She recognized where the blessing came from. She recognized the God that entered into this pain situation with her, that heard her cry and her prayer, and that helped her come through that situation, was there at the end, and she kept up her promise, and now she praises him. She praises the God of all creation. This song or this prayer is also similar to one you might have read from Mary, the mother of Jesus, in the New Testament. This same idea of a woman trusted with this son that gave him up for the service to the Lord. She praises God's sovereignty. She praises his justice, his power, his character, who he is, no matter what the situation. Her personal experience leads to this profound worship. And so what I want to encourage you today is, no matter where you're at in this journey of whether you might be in the midst of pain right now, you might be in that prayer season, you might be coming out of that season, you might be in the praise season, my encouragement to you is to always trust God. God is the one that we can trust because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And because his character never changes, we can trust him. Because his character never changes, we can place our hope and our faith in him. Because his character never changes, it doesn't matter what the circumstances of life are, God is still God, and God still loves you in the midst of that. I understand that I might not understand fully what pain you might be in and what you might be struggling with, but I do know the God that loves you, and I encourage you to be just like Hannah, to live in this way, that even in the midst of the life that's going on, your response is to go to the Lord, trust in him, seek him, remain faithful to him, and then whenever possible, worship him in those moments. You know, Hannah's story in this account was not about getting what she wants. It was about trusting in God every stage of the way. It's about following him on that journey and knowing and following him more, regardless of what's going on, even when it appears like you might not get what you're hoping for. And we can still trust God in those moments. So whether you're in this journey and you might be in that pain stage, or you're in that prayer stage, or you're in that promise stage, or you're in that praise stage, we can still come before an almighty God and continue to cast our cares on him. On this Mother's Day, we stopped to honor our mothers, and we should. We're so thankful for all that you do. We're so thankful for your selfless service. We're so thankful for who you are and what you've done. But most of all, we're so thankful that you've placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, because it's only in him that we can truly do this journey called life. As the worship team comes up to the stage and they're going to lead us in a final song, very fitting. It's called Waymaker. I want to encourage you in this moment, if you, moms or not, if you're in a moment of pain, that you would cry out to God, whether it's through this song, whether it's getting prayer. If you need prayer today, please don't leave without one of us being able to pray with you. You can come forward during the final song. But go to the Father. Pray out your heart. Tell Him what's going on. And then marvel as He begins to work in your life. So let's go ahead and get to our feet as we sing this final song, Waymaker.